Today's episode is brought to you by Musical Theater Radio's merch store. Looking for that perfect gift for someone or just want to treat yourself to some great musical theater themed merch? Head to musicaltheaterradio.com and click on the All Things Theater button on the homepage and check out all the different designs available. And now, today's interview. Welcome back to another episode of Be Our Guest here on Musical Theater Radio. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. You all probably know I run Musical Theater Radio, an internet radio station that plays nothing but show tunes from stage musicals. And without today's guest and people like him, I would have nothing to play. Today, we are speaking with Van Dien, the co-founder of Broadway Records, but in January of 2024, he launched the new label, Center Stage Records, and I'm already playing their new release, How to Dance in Ohio, so if you tune into the station, you might just hear that. So without further ado, let's welcome Van Dien to the show. Hello and welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Now, before we get into learning more about the new company, we want to get to know you a little bit better. So I always ask my guests for a 30-second bio. So my question is, who are you in 30 seconds?
Well, I originally started as a musical theater writer and then moved over to producing, thinking that it would be a great way to get my writing out of the world, but then became so busy with producing that had no time to write. And then that also evolved into starting a label when I saw a need for that. And it was also a background of mine. I had studied music industry in college and was very passionate about that side of things and saw a need for that back 12 years ago and started Broadway Records at that time, released nearly 300 recordings under Broadway Records. And that brings us to where we are today and also produced a bunch of shows on Broadway and the West End.
Very nice. Were you always into musical theater growing up, or was that something you discovered a little bit later?
In my teens, I was in a couple shows. Never was, too focused on performing, but I did play Fagin and Oliver. I think I was 13 at a summer creative arts camp type thing. And my older sister kind of turned me on to cast recordings, and some of the early ones were like Miss Saigon, Les Mis, Phantom. The first one I bought on my own was The Secret Garden, and then from there kept branching out. And then in college at Syracuse University, actually, I did an independent study to write a musical as my senior thesis. And the professor I worked with gave me a list of 100 musicals that I must know. And some of them obscure, many of them not. But I studiously went to the library, and before I wrote a note of my show, I went to listen to 100 of what he felt were the top musicals written, and not to say top commercially, but just in terms of craft. And it really ran the gamut, but it really increased my exposure. And I've personally bought over 1,200 musicals, not counting the ones I've made. So if you count the ones I made, it's over 1,500, that I own as cast albums. But it's something that I'm, by this time, pretty well versed in and very passionate about.
So of that 100 list he gave you, which one or two do you think we should know that you probably think we don't know?
It's been a long time since I looked at the list. I think a lot of the ones that are important, I think everyone knows, like Cabaret and things like that, but and certainly a lot of Sondheim pieces. I mean, there were some obscure ones on there too, like early musicals and Balfe's The Bohemian Girl, because I was writing a period piece at the time, so he felt I should know that piece. And that one goes back quite a ways. But most of the ones that are the key ones, I think most people who are really passionate about theater know, most of Sondheim's works and Kinder and Ebb and et cetera. One I would put on there that wasn't on there because it wasn't out yet is Ragtime. I went to college just before that. So in fact, I graduated, I think, the year before. Year or two before Ragtime came to Broadway, but that's my all-time favorite show, in terms of all elements, firing in all cylinders.
I got to see Ragtime here in Toronto, it blew me away. I was so lucky I got to see that here. It was so good. So I agree with you. Such a great show.
It is. And that was really the show that inspired me to enter the business. And I've since become very close with Lynn and Steven, and we've done, you know, five or six projects together and have more in the works. And it's been, you know, a dream to work with many of my heroes over the years. And they were certainly the one that started it all with Ragtime for me.
So you said you were going to be writing musicals. That's what you want to do. What transitioned? What happened that you decided, you know what, maybe I'm going to start producing albums instead?
Well, I mean, opportunities came along to produce shows, not the albums yet. And I thought it would be a great way to learn about the business and how to navigate it. And I also felt as a writer, you know, I would be able to bring something to the table from a producing standpoint. And I had a business sense. I'd run businesses before. So it seemed to be a fit to do that, and quickly became all consuming and realized, you know, once I got deeper and deeper, that I didn't necessarily have time to write. I was producing so many things. And the first show I did commercially in New York was Rooms, A Rock Romance by Paul Scott Goodman and Miriam Gordon. And that one needed a cast album and didn't necessarily know how to go about getting someone else to do it. And, you know, producer came along and to work with me on it. And I executive produced that one, put that whole thing together, and then had a couple of others, like How to Succeed with Daniel Radcliffe and Fela. I did just actually the artwork. I didn't produce the album, but I was involved with that too. And after I saw a few of them, I realized I wanted to do more and more of that. And I wanted to kind of call the shots and determine which shows to do and how to do them and everything. And that's when I started Broader Records, and the first album for that was Bonnie and Clyde, which I was a producer of the show. And unfortunately, the show didn't last as long as any of us would have liked. It has become a kind of a cult hit, and now is doing, you know, a tour in the UK and did a nice West End run. But back then the run was, you know, prematurely over, and therefore it needed an album. And I was planning to start Broader Records maybe that spring, and we started about 4 months early so we could do Bonnie and Clyde. And so that became our first and still one of the most successful albums under the label. And that was a great launch, I felt, because that piece really gained quite a following and really helped pave the way for everything else that we did.
It's such a theater thing to do. We need this, so let's just do it.
Right? Exactly.
We need the album. Let's just do it ourselves. I've never done it before. Let's just figure it out. It's such a great thing to hear.
Well, thank you. And you know, we kept adding more and more. And as the years went by, we learned how to do it more efficiently. So we were doing more and more each year. And this year I have, you know, several dozen already in the works that are, you know, planned for the next year. And so it's something that, you know, has progressed since then.
So let's talk about Center Stage Records. That just, it just got announced January of 2024. So as of the recording, just, you know, less than a few weeks ago. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I with Broader Records, you know, built quite a foundation and really proud of everything we did there, and a lot of Grammy nominations and win, and produced a lot of work that I'm really proud of and to have out in the world. And in working with the parent company who's retaining Broader Records, we decided that in order for me to pursue everything that I want to pursue in terms of the catalog, that it might make sense for me to start a new label and be able to call the shots of in this next phase of my career about all the things that I wanted to do. I was able to do that prior, but once I joined forces with parent company, obviously there are other voices at the table. Mm-hmm. And over time, it just became clear that the best way might be for me to be able to kind of chart my own course again, but while still collaborating with Broader Records from time to time, still consulting and helping with their past releases and consulting on some new ones that they're doing, and definitely going to collaborate on some things as well. So it's kind of the best of all worlds, and still retaining the connections to the old label. We're still sharing website. We're still running the web store. So to the outside world, it doesn't really look much different. It's all one website. But we acquired, you know, 2/3 of the catalog that we're now managing under Center Stage. So it's a nice close relationship. And as I said, there'll be a lot of collaboration going forward. And as I said, you know, to the outside world, BroaderRecords.com and CenterStageRecords.com actually go to the same place, and all of the releases are together there. So it's a nice, you know, semblance of both.
And I read in the press release you're heading over to the UK as well to find shows yes. over there. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, in the last couple of years, we've been doing more and more over there, you know, among others, most recently, Guys and Dolls, which is an incredible production that the Bridge Theatre did. And just been realizing there's more of a need. There's no, you know, they don't have as many options there for labels as we do here. And it felt like there was a need there to have a presence and to be able to do projects. And we already have, you know, 7 West End recordings and in early stages, and you know, many more I'm sure will follow, but we've really become more versed in that scene and made you know, more and more contacts there of people who are looking to collaborate. So we one of the general managers and producers that I've worked with on a number of projects is now heading our London efforts over there, Jamie Chapman Dixon, and he's going to be our point person on the ground, so that we don't have to be there all the time, but we will go there whenever we can. But the kind of quantity of work we're going to be doing over there, we would need more of a presence. So he's providing that for us to be able to manage things over there and, you know, work with us very closely on that.
So obviously you want to do cast recordings of the shows you're producing, but what is it about a show that draws you to it that you want to put the cast recording together of it?
Well, it's always a complicated question because I feel like there are not that many labels who do what we do, and therefore we have a real responsibility to try to preserve the art form. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, of course, it's a business as well. So it's about balancing that and making sure we do projects that do make fiscal sense, but also we also want to do our part to contribute to the history and the legacy of our art form. So it is a bit of a balancing act and trying to do both those things the best we can. And of course, we can't do everything that comes across our desk. And that's one of the hardest things I've had to learn over the years, is how to say no, because it's not usually in my nature. You know, I want to do everything, but I can't. It's not possible. So, you know, and unfortunately, the music business is not what it used to be. It's much harder, you know, from a financial standpoint. And, you know, with streaming, you get, you know, 0.4 cents per stream, and it takes a lot of streams to amount to anything from a financial standpoint. And yet, cast recordings can cost anywhere from $200,000 to $450,000 for a Broadway show. And it's a bit cheaper in the West End and off Broadway, but that's a lot, you know, to spend. And then when you're only making 0.4 cents or so per stream, you can imagine how many streams it takes to actually break even on that. So there's a whole, you know, process to try to do that as efficiently as we can. And there are no easy answers, but we navigate it as best as we can.
I'm old school. You know, streaming's wonderful. You have the access, but give me something in my hand. Give me that CD or LP just to look at, so I can look over my shelf and go, that's my collection right there. I'm not going to look in my hard drive and see the book or anything like that. But so tell some of the songs, some of the shows that just got released, because I know How to Dance in Ohio, some of the other ones that you've done recently.
Well, with Broadway Records, the last one we did under my tenure was Wild About You, which was an all-star concept recording of a new musical by Jelena Kennedy. And it's quite fantastic. And they're about to do a concert in London in a couple months of that. But really great people on it. And it was a nice way to end my official tenure there. And as I mentioned, Guys and Dolls was another recent one, which I'm also very proud of. And shortly we'll be releasing an immersive audio, you know, Dolby Atmos version of it as well, which would be our first, you know, that we've done in that way. On the Center Stage record side, we're about to make a few more announcements. In fact, 2 more this week, which I'm not at liberty to say yet, but one of them will be announced tomorrow and another on Friday. You know, one of them's a solo album by established Broadway artists, and the other one's a Broadway show. And so we're very excited about those. And then we have following that is a West End cast recording that will be in early February, and, you know, many more to follow.
So what you're saying is I should save my money because I got a bunch of stuff I have to buy in the next few weeks, is what you're saying. Yeah, I just listened to Shalina's album, literally about 2 hours before we did this, and I had her on to talk about it. And it's funny, just looking back through your catalog, I love going to the site and going, yep, play that one, I play that one, I need that one, I play that one. Interviewed them, I've talked to them. So you've got a quite the who's who on Broadway records. And I have no doubt that going forward, you're going to have a ton more on Center Stage records. Is there anybody that, you know, you would love to get on there onto your label?
Well, of course, Lin-Manuel Miranda, but who wouldn't? I mean, there's a lot of them. You know, Shayna Taub is so talented, and there's a lot of writers. But in our business, a lot of writers have relationships with labels. We have that, and so many of the other labels do too. You know, Jason Robert Brown, The Connector, is really fantastic. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it yet, but I actually saw an early presentation of it, and it's some of his best work. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we would love to get involved in. Some of it, hopefully we will. But certainly we would have loved to have been the one to release Hamilton, but who wouldn't, you know, on that. there's many artists that we would love to work with. Many of them we have, and I'm sure, you know, many of those we will. But like I said, it's a lot of it is about relationships and just who they've worked with in the past. And, you know, most writers are quite loyal, but it's not always the writer's decision. Also, it's often the producers of the show who decide that. So it's a mixture of things.
That's not an easy question to answer, but it does, you know, that last part was a great insight. It's not always up to the artist. You know, just because you wrote the show doesn't mean you get to choose what happens to it, unfortunately.
It's true. And, you know, for making a musical, especially a Broadway musical, it can be 200 people working on it and many more investors behind it. And, you know, so there are a lot of voices, you know, at the table. I mean, ultimately the lead producers are kind of in control of that along with the director and the writers, but, you know, they're definitely, it's not like a painter who's pretty much in charge of their entire output. You know, when you write a musical, there's a large team that is necessary to actually bring it all the way to fruition.
Is this is just abstract. Is there a big star from the past that you wish you would be able to get on your label and just have heard in the recording studio, you know, somebody from the past, you know, 100 years of musical theater?
That's a tough one. I mean, on the writer side, with Sondheim, we almost actually got to work with him because the last album before his passing that he approved to happen was our Assassins album. And I was thrilled thinking of, you know, get to work with him. I had been an intern at Angel Records when he did Passion. So I had been in the studio with him and I had met him, but I was, you know, 20 at the time. So it's a little bit of a different perspective. You know, so I was going to have the chance to actually, you know, work with him in a creative level. And I was pretty thrilled about that. And unfortunately, with his untimely passing, everyone around him and in the industry was deprived of incredible seminal talent. You know, one of the really probably the most impactful in musical theater history, and certainly top two, if not the most. So it's somebody that you know, I came very close to working with. I met him, we've emailed a few times, and have a little bit of a history, but never got to actually collaborate. So he would have been certainly on the very short list. And then going back further, I mean, obviously working with Rodgers and Hammerstein and Gershwin and others would have been pretty amazing. I'm actually tangentially involved with Oscar Hammerstein because I'm on the board of the group that's that saved his house, that purchased it and are turning it into a museum.
Yeah. Nice.
And that's always, musical theater history has always been really important to me. And before I entered the business, I read every book I could get my hands on, and especially biographies of composers. And so I knew all about, you know, Oscar and Richard, and I knew all about his house and how important that was, because where he wrote all of his musicals with Richard Rodgers is the house in Doylestown that we are turning into a museum and an education center. And that's also where he mentored Stephen Sondheim, going back to him in the conversation. He was a local boy who, you know, really looked up to Oscar as a mentor. And he'd always said, whatever he did, I would have followed in his footsteps. And he happened to be a writer of musical theater. And Oscar, you know, sat him down and taught him everything he knew. And it obviously completely changed musical theater history. So I was only would have loved to have worked with him as well, but at least in a small way, I am by preserving his legacy in his home.
Any individual performer that you just love to have heard live in that studio?
Well, I'm sure, and you know, like Mary Martin and Ethel Merman, and you know, I'm sure that would have been pretty pretty fascinating. I'd have to think about it some more. I mean, a lot of the writers, sorry, a lot of performers that I'm really passionate about, I have had the chance to work with in some capacity. I mean, even like I conceived and produced Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty's 30th anniversary concert, 54 Below, which we recorded for a double album. We actually did 5 nights, and we took the highlights from all the nights and made it into a double album. And you know, everyone from Brian Stokes Mitchell to you know, Liz Calloway and many more. And so there were a lot of bucket list performers, you know, there and on many other projects I've worked on. And I have worked with Autumn McDonald, you know, on a few things, and she's certainly on the short list as well. But I've had the pleasure of working with her, and she's one of the top talents of our generation. And I haven't actually worked with Ben Platt yet, but he's incredible. Because his performance in Dear Evan Hansen and Cynthia Erivo's and The Color Purple, I think, are two of the highlights of the last decade in terms of performances. They were just unbelievable. And yeah, unfortunately, very fortunately, I got to work with Cynthia on Color Purple album, and that was definitely one of our highlights. But haven't worked with Ben yet, but he's an incredible talent as well.
Fantastic. So tell us, how do people learn more about Center Stage Records, the website, the social medias, all that fun stuff, so they get to find out more about yourself and your company?
Well, thank you. Well, all our handles are the same, Center Stage RCDS. So it's, you know, abbreviated for records. Across Instagram and Facebook, etc. So it's the same handle. And then the website is centerstagerecords.com, which, as I mentioned, is the same as broadrecords.com. They both point the same place with, you know, both brands represented there. And while we only officially been launched for about 2.5 weeks now, we already have one release with another one coming on Friday, and another one 2 weeks after that. And one we're announcing tomorrow is going into the studio on Monday. So there'll be a lot very quickly being added.
Very cool. Well, I just got to say, as a writer, thank you for, you know, supporting writers and the shows. And as, you know, a person that runs a station, but not just, but also a lover of musicals, you know, what you do is archiving the shows, because without the cast recordings, so many shows are lost. You know, we might not know about that 1963 Off-Broadway, you know, show. It wasn't a hit. It probably didn't do very well, but you know what? People like yourselves in the past who created the cast recordings of this means we can experience them and live through them and learn from them. Just like Sondheim learned from Hammerstein, and you know, we learned from the cast recordings that you create. So thank you for doing all that.
Well, it's my pleasure, my honor. And I should mention to that effect too, I've been collaborating with Janine Tesori and Kaufman. They created something called the Cast Album Project, which is going to be used to take some shows that were never recorded before, especially by diverse authors, and get them recorded. And we're partnering with them on that, and we'll be announcing more on that soon too. But that's speaking to exactly what you're talking about, because there certainly are shows that have never been preserved that deserve to be. And you know, while we'll never probably have enough bandwidth to do them all, we're certainly going to try to do what we can to bring some of them back into the forefront, so that they can get produced and be, you know, a larger part of the canon.
That's wonderful to hear. I look forward to getting those and playing those and you know, introducing the world to the shows they missed and should have learned about. So, man, thank you so much for coming on today and telling us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing for the musical theater industry in general. So thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. We were just speaking with Van Dien, the founder of Center Stage Records. So make sure to check them out on all the incredible shows that they are producing. Tune in next week as we'll speak another guest or guests about their life, love, and passion, that is musical theater. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. And until next time, I'll see you when I see you.